Good morning and welcome to Southern Champaign County Today, edition of Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, February 12th, 2026. Top of our front page is a review of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting. The Village of Sydney Board of Trustees met on Monday, February 2nd, in the Sydney Community Building. The meeting was brought to order at 7 o'clock and started with public comments, which included Cub Scout Pack Troop 55 member Soren Davis reported that he was working on an Eagle Scout project and wanted to know if the Village of Sydney had a project that 8 Cub Scouts could work on for their Eagle Scout project. Discussion amongst Soren and the Board of Trustees members took place, and they came up with some projects at Witt Park to include cleaning up at the park and on the walking trails and replacing the Witt Park ballpark sign at the entrance to the park. John Finn, Village of Sydney president, was very amenable to the idea and made a plan that they will talk in the spring when projects might be begun. Went on to a discussion from Susan Monte from the Champaign County Environmental Stewards, who spoke about the desire to obtain a capital campaign contribution from the Village of Sydney to go towards the construction of a hazardous waste collection facility to be located in Urbana. A motion from Trustee Dan Gadigan held that the Village of Sydney would give a one-time contribution of $5,000, and that motion passed. Brett Franzen from the Goose and the Gander, LLC, reported that he had met with Sydney Improvement Group and that May 9th had been scheduled for a downtown Sydney businesses street fair. Sydney ESDA Director Pat Mantell was also at the meeting and produced a quote for $34,800 for the federal signal safety and security systems for a Dunlap Woods area ESDA siren. Discussion concerning the new siren and the possible replacement of another siren that is getting old and may be on its last legs took place, and the board decided to table further discussion until the Monday, March 2nd meeting of the Board of Trustees. Sydney resident Rob Keller was in attendance at the meeting to report about 2 vocal run-ins that he had with a Village of Sydney employee. The first of which he did not initially report, but a second one he did report to the Village of Sydney Board and to Public Property Chair Tyler Bickers. Mr. Keller reported that he later spoke with Village President John Finn and that he had come to this meeting to address the run-ins under public comment. He would like to have something done. Mr. Keller additionally reported during the discussion that included President Finn, that the employee had used bad language and that he was not a very good representative of the village. Trustee Bickers told Mr. Keller that the matter would be discussed in a closed session meeting at the end of the regular meeting. A motion to adjourn was accepted, and the Village of Sydney president began his comments by leading a lengthy discussion concerning the property at 220 South David Street and that the board had denied their special use permit request at the January 5th meeting. The board will continue working on doing something about that property. A motion from Trustee Matt Laurent opposed passing a resolution 2026-R-1 approving the release of escrowed funds and execution of an easement closure letter related to the sale of the Sydney water system, and that motion carried. Next up was discussion concerning changes in Section 6.17 regarding sick leave in the employee handbook. A motion from Trustee Dan Gadigan to allow 40 hours a year of sick leave, with the idea that if all of the hours were not used, they would roll over into the next year, but that a total of 200 hours would be specified as the total to be carried. That motion did carry. And then Sydney community building rental fees were discussed, and it was reported that current fees for residents to rent the Sydney community building are $200 with a $100 refund if the building is turned back clean, and $250 with a $100 refund if the building is clean for non-resident use. The motion was to raise the rental fees by $50 for both residents and non-residents to $250 with a $100 refund if the building is clean, and that would be for residents. And then the raise would be $300 to rent with a $100 refund for the building if it is rented by non-Sydney residents. And that motion carried. Village of Sydney Maintenance Supervisor Dustin Butts reported on the Witt Park Ballpark septic system and about improvements that he wanted to get the board's approval for. They included putting in railroad ties and possibly some flowers around the septic system to make sure that people don't drive on top of the system, along with some other work he felt should be done at the park. If approved, he would have the railroad ties installed to mark the location for now and do the rest of the needed work following the upcoming ball season. And his discussion was approved. The Village of Sydney trustee and finance chair, Donna Hooker, gave the finance report and found that there were no outstanding bills other than the monthly routine bills for January, and they were voted ready to be paid. Village of Sydney Board Trustees and Streets and Alleys Chair Dan Gadigan reported on oil and chipping of several roads and stating that he will get with the Village of Sydney Maintenance Supervisor Dustin Butts to make sure that that is taken care of. A conversation then ensued about the condition of South David Street in front of the Premier Cooperative elevator and its need for repairs. Trustee Gadigan was asked to speak about them and to seek a possible contribution to help with repair of the road, as most of the damage comes from vehicles entering and exiting the elevator, and that use has increased. Vickers went on to report that building permit number 2026 had been issued and stated that Sydney maintenance employees had done a very good job on the recent snow removal. Matt Laurent, who is chair of the Parks and Recreation Committee, reported that ball signups had taken place for the Witt Park Ballpark program. Under new and old business, Tyler Bickers made a motion for the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees to go into closed session to discuss a Village of Sydney employee. The board came out of that session without comment. The meeting then was adjourned, and the next scheduled meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, March 2nd at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. Next up, we're very happy to report that Tolono Fire Protection District members have earned EMS Challenge Coins during a recent training program. On Monday evening, February 3rd, Carl EMS Project Medical Director Dr. John Angular presented Deputy Chief Kyle Hayden and Probationary Firefighter Austin Winters with the Carl EMS Challenge Coin during monthly EMS training. Both members were nominated by their peers for their outstanding collaboration on high acuity medical call in December. They worked seamlessly alongside Savoy Fire Department and the Aero Ambulance crew in a high-stress situation, demonstrating the teamwork and professionalism that we strive for in every response. We're grateful for our strong partnerships with all the agencies we work with. Our members receive continuing education from Carl EMS each month to ensure that they are always prepared to respond to medical emergencies in our Tolono community. Once again, our congratulations to both Kyle Hayden and Austin Winters. Next up, we have our weekly newsletter from the Philo Library, and they begin, "We always like a good excuse to delve into the stacks. With next Monday, February 19th, being President's Day, I decided to see what we have on the shelves in our Philo Library, and I found that there are a lot of interesting, informative books about our presidents, but I decided I would highlight some of the books written by presidents that are in the collection. First up, we have Dreams from My Father by President Barack Obama. His first memoir details his childhood in Honolulu through his time at Harvard Law School. Next, we review Decision Points by President George W. Bush. He took his inspiration from Ulysses S. Grant and the book he wrote and writes thematically around decisions he made during his tenure in the White House. Next, we look at In His Own Hand, which presents the vision of Ronald Reagan through writings selected from his entire life. It includes short stories he wrote in high school and college, a poem from his high school yearbook, newspaper articles, letters, and speeches from both before and during his presidency. In Off the Record, The Private Papers of Harry S. Truman, we get a picture of this president during his occupancy of the White House until his death in 1972 through diary entries, letters, and memoranda. One of our most prolific presidential writers was President Jimmy Carter. In An Hour Before Daylight, Memories of a Rural Boyhood, we learn about Carter growing up on a Georgia farm and the people who shaped his life. But presidents also write more than just autobiographical works. One example is President John F. Kennedy's book, Profiles in Courage, which profiles senators who defied their party to do what they felt was right. And for something totally different, we also have the political suspense thriller, The President's Plane is Missing, co-authored by President Bill Clinton. I could go on, but then you wouldn't have the fun of coming in and discovering new items on our shelves and making your own discoveries. Have a great week, and we hope to see you soon at the Philo Library. And next up, we have our weekly report from the Tolono Library. At its last meeting, the Low Key Book Club chose romance as the theme for their book in February. Choose any romance book to read, or don't, and join us for our next meeting on the first Monday of March. The Tolono Public Library is in full celebration mode this week. Couples are pairing up for Clark Megan's Glow Paint with a Partner class on Thursday, February 12th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. They'll be using acrylic paint that glows under UV light, and each couple will paint one half of a whole picture. Unfortunately, our capacity for this event is full, but you can still join the wait list and we'll contact you if a spot opens up. Registration for all our events this month is open at the first of the month, so be sure to set a reminder so you don't miss out next time. We'll also celebrate Valentine's Day with the little ones at Storytime on Friday, February 13th from 10 to 10:30 a.m. Be sure to bring your babies and toddlers to listen to stories of love and friendship. The celebrations continue on Tuesday, February 17th, from 6 to 7:30, when we will be hosting an interactive history presentation for Mardi Gras. Learn about the history of Carnival and how it is traditionally celebrated. You'll get to experience the music and culture of New Orleans, eat a piece of authentic New Orleans king cake from Gambino's Bakery, and create your own masks and parade throws. RSVP for this event on our website or by calling the library. Your registration is appreciated but not required. February 17th is also the Lunar New Year, and we're inviting you to celebrate by grabbing one of our Cherry Blossom Signs MYCC kits that will be out on the counter starting that Monday. February 18th is the third Wednesday of the month, so mark your calendars for Coffee Talk from 9 to 10 a.m., and as always, there will be the Teen Fab Lab in the afternoon, from 3:30 to 5, and again, that's on February 18th, Wednesday. If you want to learn more about our upcoming programs ahead of time, sign up for our programs newsletter. You'll receive an email with the upcoming month's programs well in advance, giving you plenty of time to plan your schedule and make any reservations you want to. Visit our website to learn more about what's going on at the Tolono Public Library. And next up, we have a look at the night sky with Professor David Leakey, who's retired director of the Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College. This column focuses on the dates from February 11th to February 17th, and he begins. You may see on social media that there's an annular eclipse of the sun on Tuesday of next week. While this is true, you have to be in the southern part of Africa or Antarctica to see it. If you have plans to visit those lands, good for you. A solar eclipse occurs when the moon's shadow falls upon the Earth. As the moon moves in its orbit and the Earth rotates, we have an eclipse shadow track. What makes it an annular eclipse is the moon is a bit farther away than its average distance, so it appears a bit smaller, and it does not completely cover the sun. The penguins in that southern hemisphere will see a glowing ring in the sky at totality. Some of you may remember the annular eclipse we had right here in Champaign County in May 1994, and skies were actually clear. If you don't want to travel, the next total eclipse seen in central Illinois will be in September 2099. And he tells us we should put that on our calendar. Right. Next up, we want to recognize the Piecemeal Program. It's OSF Piecemeal. Provides seniors ages 60 and older with a nutritious lunch Monday through Saturday Monday through Saturday, and they're closed on Sunday and Wednesday. There is a suggested donation of $4 for each meal. However, no senior will be denied a piecemeal because of an inability to financially contribute. The Illinois Link card is an accepted form of payment. For more information, you can visit the website, which is simply osfhealthcare.org. OSF Healthcare is all one word, and look for the Piecemeal link. The Homer Piecemeal Congregate site is at the Homer Village Hall, located at 500 East 2nd Street, and it is now providing carryout meals only. Home delivery in southern Champaign County is currently available in Sidney, Homer, Philo, Tolono, Sadorus, and Pisodum. And this is the OSF Piecemeal Program. Next up, it's getting to be Girl Scout cookie season, and the Central Illinois Girl Scouts are kicking it off on February 13th, by welcoming Exploramores to the cookie lineup. On Friday, February 13th, Girl Scouts of Central Illinois will kick off the 2026 Girl Scout Cookie Season as local Girl Scouts explore more possibilities through the largest girl-led entrepreneurial program in the world. Every box of Girl Scout cookies represents far more than a delicious treat. It's a catalyst for local change, said Jennifer Seedbrook, CEO of Girl Scouts of Central Illinois. Because 100% of the net proceeds stay within our own communities, each purchase directly funds the service projects, outdoor adventures, and skill-building programs that help area girls thrive today and lead tomorrow. Explore-mores are a Rocky Road ice cream-inspired sandwich cookie, and it'll join the legendary cookie lineup for the 2026 Girl Scout cookie season. Filled with delicious flavors of chocolate, marshmallow, and toasted almond-flavored cream, Explore-mores reflect the spirit of exploration at the heart of every Girl Scout. In addition to the exciting new cookie, the 2026 cookie lineup will include fan favorites such as Thin Mints, Caramel Delights, and Peanut Butter Patties, and more. The Girl Scout Cookie Program provides invaluable entrepreneurial skills for Girl Scouts across the country and funds experiences such as service projects, troop travel, and summer camp. From curious kindergartner amazed by giraffes at the local zoo, to a middle schooler finding the courage to go on her first overnight trip with her troop, Girl Scouts know the road to discovery starts with exploration. Each cookie season, Girl Scouts develop important life skills, such as goal setting, decision making, money management, people skills, and business ethics through the Girl Scout Cookie Program. All proceeds from cookie sales stay local to power local scouts' amazing experiences year-round. Right now, Central Illinois Girl Scouts are exploring who they are, what they can do, and all they can become. Your purchase helps them make their community and the world a better place, one box of cookies at a time. If you know a Girl Scout, reach out to her. If you don't know a Scout, use the Girl Scout Cookie Finder by entering your zip code and their website. There you can find a troop selling cookies at a nearby booth, or you can purchase cookies directly to be shipped to you or to donate to a local community cause. If you would like to be connected to a Girl Scout troop selling Girl Scout cookies, you can fill out the Cookie Finder customer request form. Girls from ages K through 12 can start their journey toward fun, friendship, and new experiences by joining the world's largest entrepreneurial organization for girls at any time. And the website is simply getyourgirlpower.org. Get Your Girl Power is all one word. And it's wonderful to welcome Girl Scout Cookie Season. We would like to take a moment now to congratulate some local higher education students who have been named to the Fall 2025 Dean's List at Illinois Wesleyan University. Local students who have achieved this honor include Lauren Tate from Homer, Kyler Williams from Tolono, and Kayla Nelson from Sydney. Our congratulations to these outstanding students for this marvelous achievement. And now we have news from on the Rocket Rundown, courtesy of our student writer, Olivia Withreft. And she begins, Unity boys basketball had a very successful week. They started against Paxton's Panthers on Tuesday. The Rockets continued their winning streak and won 71-48. Then on Friday, they took on the St. Joe Spartans in a high-intensity game that went into overtime. In the first half, the Rockets were down 4 points, but in the second half, the Rockets led in both quarters. We finally went on to victory, 68-63, against the Spartans. This week, the Rockets play IVC on Tuesday and Pontiac on Friday. Girls basketball played PBL on Tuesday as well. The first half was close, and PBL led by 1 point. The Rockets fell behind in the second half and ultimately lost 53-46. They faced St. Joe on Thursday and unfortunately came in second, 45-57. Next Tuesday is senior night, where the girls will go up against WLHS. Track and field had their first meet of the indoor season on Friday, with promising results for the upcoming season. Here are some of the highlights. Emma Swisher placed first in the 60-meter and the 400-meter, while Camden Fairbanks placed first in the 800-meter. Maddox Sutherland dominated the 60-meter hurdles with a personal record of 8.75 seconds and placed first. Both 4x200 relays placed third. Clinton McCormick placed first in high jump, and Ava Jones placed first in long jump. The team will compete again this Friday at the Armory. Girls wrestling had regionals on Saturday. Ava Beldo placed second, and Phoenix Molina came in first. Both boys and girls will compete at regionals this Friday and Saturday. Go Rockets! Next up, we have a hopeful article headlined, Illinois remains the top producing soybean state in 2025. Illinois soybean farmers are once again the top producers of soybeans in the United States. In 2025, Illinois farmers harvested more than 639 million bushels of soybeans, securing Illinois the number one slot in the nation. Despite facing the challenges of low commodity prices, unfavorable weather conditions, and trade wars, Illinois' dedicated farmers continue to produce high-quality soybeans, said Illinois Soybean Association Chairman Brian Sievers. We are proud to once again be the top soybean-producing state in the United States. In 2024, Illinois farmers set a record in soybean production at 688 million bushels harvested and 10.8 million acres planted. In 2025, Illinois soybean farmers planted slightly fewer acres at 10.3 million acres of soybeans, with an average yield of 62.5 bushels per acre. Checkoff investments in research and production have equipped farmers with the tools to produce high-yielding, sustainable soybeans, said Heath Houck, ISA Soybean Production Committee Chairman. Soybeans play a crucial role in Illinois' economy, serving as a key export commodity and innovation driver through biofuels and new uses currently being developed. The runner-up in production was Iowa, at more than 595 million bushels produced from 9.4 million acres planted. This is just a marvelous achievement. And now some fast announcements of upcoming services and events. St. Patrick Catholic Charities in Tolono sponsors a free food pantry every Monday from 5 to 6:30 and Friday from 9 to 10:30 in the morning, located in the St. Patrick's Parish and serving all of Champaign County. The Giving Place is open every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. in Tolono to also help families in need of food. Remember Valentine's Day? On February 14th, the Sydney American Legion is meeting on February 16th at 6 p.m. The Countryside United Methodist Church is celebrating Fat Tuesday with a pancake dinner from 5 to 7 p.m. Everybody's welcome at the Countryside United Methodist Church. Next up, on February 28th, Unity's parent-teacher organization is sponsoring their Bingo Glow, and doors open at 5:30. Village of Tolono Board of Trustees are meeting on March 2nd, and there's a clothing sale at the Countryside United Methodist Church on March 27th and 28th. Everybody's welcome. And this concludes our reading of the Southern Champaign County Today for February 11th, 2026. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.